your Harvest of Stars, starring James Melton. And our guest today, Miss Dorothy Kirsten. And here's James Melton to open our program with Great Day.
When you're down and out, lift up your head and shout, there's gonna be a great day. Angels in the sky promise that by and by there's gonna be a great day. Gabriel will walk a new Tammany morn. You will hear his horn. It's not far away. Hold up your hands and say there's gonna be a great day. Eyes were dark, came Noah's Ark.
Amen.
When lions roared, came Daniel's Lord.
Amen.
Lord, help those who pray. And on Judgment Day, shall receive your
pardon. When you're down and out, lift up your head and shout, there's gonna be a great day. Angels in the sky promise that by and by there's gonna be a great day.
Gabriel will warn you somebody morn, you will hear not far away. Hold up your hands and say there's gonna be a great day.
Good afternoon, friends. This is James Melton, welcoming you to your Harvest of Stars. Our guest this afternoon is the brilliant American soprano, Miss Dorothy Kirsten, with whom I have performed many times at the Metropolitan Opera. Miss Kirsten will join me in a duet from La Boheme and will also portray the part of Jenny Lind in our story about that famous singer. And we'd like to present now Stephen Foster's Come Where My Love Lies Dreaming.
Come with a lay, my own love is sweetly dreaming, for a beauty beaming. Come where my love lies dreaming, is sweetly dreaming, the happy hours away. Oh, dear. Light is for a young heart, light may it be. Come where my love lies dreaming, dreaming the happy hour, dreaming the happy hour of the way. Come where my love lies.
James Melton, star of the Metropolitan Opera Company, has just sung Come Where My Love Lies Dreaming. Melton.
Thank you, Don. Our Harvest of Stars spotlight now turns on our guest, Miss Dorothy Kirsten. Miss Kirsten will appear both as actress and singer in our story of Jenny Lind, the Swedish Nightingale.
Back in Stockholm, Sweden, more than a century ago, a little girl would sit on a windowsill and sing to her coal black kitten. So lovely was her voice that people would stop in the street and listen. And one day, a member of the Royal Opera heard Jenny Lind singing, flew to the manager of the Royal Theater. She persuaded him to hear the 9-year-old girl, and Jenny became a pupil of the Royal Theater. She learned to play, to act, to dance, and to sing. She was a child prodigy. And then, just 110 years ago, 18-year-old Jenny Lind faced the critical opera audience for the first time. Stockholm never forgot the event. Cheers and applause stopped the performance. A great new singing star was born, and the Swedish Nightingale started up the ladder to fame. It was Copenhagen, Dresden, London, the Berlin Opera. Jenny Lind's fame spread throughout the entire world. Rang in the ears of a great showman in America named Phineas Taylor Barnum.
It's preposterous, Barnum. The idea is fantastic and financially out of the question.
I tell you, it'll make a fortune for us both.
Imagine investing this bank's money, our depositors' money, in a singer.
If I bring Jenny Lind to America, we'll have new concert halls, new theaters. Now, have I ever been wrong?
Barnum, your sideshows and freaks and your humbugs have made money, but this...
I only need $187,000. as guarantee to Jenny Lind for 100 concerts. And we'll make at least a million.
P.T., ever since you left that farm in Bethel, Connecticut, you've talked a lot of people into a lot of crazy schemes. But you can't fool all the people all the time. And you can't fool me into investing $187,000 in some Swedish singer.
All right, I'll raise the money. If I have to ride one of my elephants up and down Broadway. And I'll bring Jenny Lind to America.
Barnum raised the money, and a letter and a contract went to Europe, to Jenny Lind, who had never even thought of an American concert tour. When the letter reached Jenny's manager, he went straight to the dressing room where Jenny was singing, as usual, preparing for rehearsal.
Come in, please.
Jenny, a letter from America, marked urgent and personal.
America? Let me see. We'll guarantee 100 concerts, all expenses, charity performances, and close contract. Reply at once, obediently yours, Phineas T. Barnum.
Preposterous. Impossible. I forbid it.
And who forbids, Jenny Lind? Mr. Barnum offers me a concert tour in America. He's the greatest showman on earth.
Barnum, P.T. Barnum. He is a showman, yes. He owns a museum, exhibits freaks. He will make...
And he will also give me $1,000 for each concert.
Concert? Ah, Jenny Lind, this P.T. Barnum, he'll put you in a glass cage, exhibit you, charge admission to look at you. 25 cents to see the Swedish Nightingale. You cannot go to America.
He guarantees me over $100,000, and I want that money, Julius.
And what will you do with the money, if you get it?
I'll give every dollar to found a children's hospital.
P.T. Barnum, the Bethel, Connecticut farm boy with a touch of genius, proved he was the greatest showman on earth. Jenny Lind accepted, and all New York prepared a welcome. Tickets for the first concert sold for as much as $200 each. Castle Garden was filled to the doors. Mayors, governors, congressmen, celebrities from every walk of life were there. This was the greatest event in the history of American music. Each number on the program brought a dozen curtain calls. And backstage, a tired Jenny Lind and a beaming and proud Barnum waited for the orchestra to finish the overture to The Marriage of Figaro. Jenny's next song would end the evening's concert.
You're sure they like my singing, Mr. Barnum?
The greatest concert ever heard here, Jenny.
Oh, excuse me, Miss Lind, Mr. Barnum. A distinguished old gentleman sent you this note.
Father of some stage-struck girl, no doubt. Read it, Jenny.
Jenny Lind, forgive the frankness of an old man. Your voice is magnificent. Your singing divine. But won't you please sing one of those simple mountain melodies of your native land?
Probably didn't even sign his name.
But yes, he did. It's signed Daniel Webster.
Daniel Webster? Jenny, one of our greatest statesmen.
And he's right. Americans, too, love simple music. I'll change my last song for him.
Oh, you can't. It's impossible. The orchestra's not prepared, and you're on stage in a minute.
I'll sing a song that's never been heard before in America. Don't worry about the orchestra. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight here in Castle Garden, you have made me feel very close to America. I love your country, and you have made me very happy. I have been asked to sing one of the simple songs of my homeland, and with your permission, I will accompany myself on the piano and sing Come Chira, the herdsman's song, as requested by Mr. Daniel Webster.
Come cheer, amigo, come cheer. Come cheer, 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 come che sotte di marchi più sotte on, di volte den stalti di lensman.
Kirsten for a splendid performance. Here again is James Melton. Our guest, Miss Dorothy Kirsten, joins me now in the famous duet from the first act of Puccini's opera, La Bohème. Miss Kirsten and I will sing O Soave Fanciulla, O Lovely Maiden.
O Soave Fanciulla, O Dolce Viso, Dimmi te circa fuso la parola.
Melton and Dorothy Kirsten, stars of the Metropolitan Opera Company, have just sung O Lovely Maiden from La Bohème. The currently popular song Ballerina seems destined for a permanent place in American music. Mr. Melton sings it for you now.
Dance, ballerina, dance, and do your pirouette in rhythm with your aching heart. Dance, ballerina, dance. You mustn't once forget a dancer has to dance the part. Well, ballerina, work, and just ignore the chair that's empty in the second row. This is your moment now. Although he's not up there applauding as you steal the show. Once you say, his love must wait its turn. You wanted fame instead. I guess that's your concern. We live and learn. and love is gone, ballerina, gone. Gone with your career, you can't afford a backward glance. Dance on and on and on. 1,000 people here have come to see the show, as round and round you go. So ballerina, dance, dance, dance.
Harvest of Stars has been a presentation of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.